You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HT, Rudraneel Sengupta. India's squads across the three formats for the Tour of Australia have been announced. And that massive, massive contingent of cricketers flying to Australia immediately after the IPL is our episode's talking point. But before we get to the individual squads in greater detail, I'd like to ask my co-host Rudra about the incredibly long tour that's coming up and what he's most looking forward to. So Rudra, is it the new faces or the venues or the promised crowd at the MCG for the Boxing Day test? What is it? What are you looking forward to?
Well, if you know me by now, it's obviously, firstly, I'm looking forward to the tests. I'm not even going to watch anything else, I think. Second thing is, the thing in the test that I'm looking forward to are the two fast bowling attacks. Nothing thrills me the way fast bowling does. And man, in those Australian wickets, I hope they get like really bouncy, fast pitches. And both sides are equal and they have been on for some time on equal footing in the fast bowling department. Even though they have been on equal footing for some time, it still for me feels like a miracle to see like the Indian fast bowling being so incisive, fast, threatening, speedy. Yeah, wonderful. And I would love to watch both Steve Smith and Virat Kohli to see how they play against the respective attacks. That's definitely what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, because when India won the tour the last time they went there, you know, that historic series, because like we hadn't won there ever and, you know, we'd been touring Australia for 71 years. There was no David Warner and there was no Steve Smith. So, you know, it was kind of a lopsided meeting, but this time, you know, they're there to make amends. And you had this fabulous interview with Steve Smith. I'm sure he told you that he's raring to go because the tour, at least the schedule was already announced then, but now we've got our players in.
Yeah. And imagine Jasprit Bumrah versus Steve Smith. What fun that will be.
Delicious. I mean, like, this is the stuff of Test cricket dreams, right? This is what purists like really dream of. But before we get to the test matches, we have to go through the T20s and the one-dayers, right? So what caught your eye? Let's do T20s first because, you know, it's T20 season. The IPL is going on. Yeah. What caught your eye from that squad that was chosen for the T20 leg of the Australia Tour?
The first thing that caught my eye, and it involves both the T20 and ODIs, is that Rishabh Pant is out of both teams.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah.
And that's quite something. You know, that's a really strong message to Pant. And also, you know, I mean, he's been built up for so long, for quite some time now, as like this huge, big hitting, maverick wicketkeeper batsman who's going to take over from Dhoni's role. And suddenly now he's dropped from both formats. And it's been coming for some time. I mean, we could have predicted that this would happen. But to actually see it happen is quite something. What are your thoughts on?
Absolutely. So it's more to do with the ODI squad where I really felt that pinch here, because at least in the T20 squad, there's Sanju Samson as a backup for KL Rahul keeping wickets, right?
Right.
But in the one-day squad, it's just KL. And now he's the vice-captain. He's basically Kohli's assistant. When it comes to man-managing the team, which is a great promotion for him. But he's the lone keeper in the one-day side. And now this is some crazy responsibility, man. Like, there are no backups, right? A little bit like what Ganguly did to Dravid in, you know, the season where we were going into the 2003 World Cup. It's a great idea if you can pull it off. We went all the way to the final, of course, because of that role that Dravid was donning. You know, coming in as late as 6 and 7. And it allows you to play that extra batsman if need be. And that extra bowler, which is often the case in Australia, right? Yeah, it's great. It's fabulous. And I'm a big, big KL Rahul fan. I mean, I really think he's in the form of his life and he's going to come good. But in case, just in case, you know, he leaks a few runs with the mittens on in one day cricket, who are they going to turn to?
True. I mean, that's a good question. Though, of course, KL Rahul, unlike Rahul Dravid, the other Rahul, he's got quite a bit of, you know, his skills as a wicketkeeper is quite good. And the other thing is, like, unlike Rahul Dravid, he gets to actually keep regularly in competitive cricket. So he's got that kind of, you know, practice, match practice that you need. So he's in touch. I don't think that there's going to be that much a problem for him keeping wickets in ODIs. But of course, if he gets injured, then I don't know what happens then. I mean, who do they turn to? They, despite the fact that they have such a humongous squad, is it possible that they just pull Sanju Samson out from and put him into the old, into that role as well? I don't know.
Okay, so now that we've been doing one day cricket in our talk so far, the fact that Mayank Agarwal is in the squad should also help, because I could be mistaken here, but I think he's also kept a little bit in his life, like just a little bit.
He has. You're not mistaken. He has kept a little bit, yes.
Precisely. So the fact that he will be making, you know, I think he played a couple of ODIs in the tour of New Zealand earlier this year, just before the outbreak of coronavirus. But, you know, it's pretty much like a second ODI debut for him now. And if he has to keep wickets too, in case something happens to KL, then it'll be interesting to see. But it's a really well-balanced squad, despite the fact that Rohit's name is not in it at the moment. But I have a feeling he'll fly to Australia as well.
We'll just come back to Rohit Sharma. But before that, I mean, what an embarrassment of riches in terms of opening the innings in, I think, all three formats. And because we're with ODIs right now, who will you go with if it's between, and specifically keeping in mind the conditions? Because otherwise, Shikhar Dhawan is a straight pick as our opener. But in Australia, is he as good as he is in other places? And if not, then who takes his place? We've got KL Rahul, Mayank Agarwal, Shubman Gill, Shikhar Dhawan. Yeah. That's the choice in ODIs, right?
That's crazy.
Amazing spread, boss.
Yeah, exactly.
Who do you pick? I mean, if you had to pick without like any thought for anything else.
KL and Dhawan, because they've done it before. They've actually opened together before. But I think this is really the time. And, you know, the World Cup cycle is well underway. It doesn't feel that way because of this pandemic here. And, you know, it's ruining like a lot of plans. But the last World Cup was played in 2019. We're on the verge of 2021. By now, teams, and especially India, because they've been following the cycle so keenly since at least 2007, would have chiseled down from, you know, 30 probables to choose for the 2023 World Cup to about 25 by this point. But like you said, right? I mean, like, riches in talent and in the size of our pool, that number hasn't been narrowed down yet. But it could be if you just give Shubman a run of three ODIs, right? Like where they're playing. They're playing in two matches in Sydney and one Manuka Oval in Canberra. Just give him those three ODIs, because Kohli is really, really smart this way as a captain. He does not care about these random bilaterals, right? In the shorter formats. He has really, at least in the build up to the 2019 World Cup, he just threw all kinds of people in at the deep end and just waited for them to, like, you know, swim back to shore. And the ones who did, almost all of them flew to England. There were still some left behind, but because of the spate of injuries and all of that, you know, Rishabh Pant finally made it in and Vijay Shankar made it in. So it's time. I think it's really time. Maybe he shouldn't, you know, go back and play KL as the wicketkeeper, right? Wherever a wicketkeeper should be batting in Kohli's scheme of things. And open with Gill and Shikhar Dhawan. And, you know, he's going to have this problem of plenty when it comes to openers in Test cricket too. But I think we should really, like, talk about Test cricket. Yeah. When we come to Test cricket, let's go back to the original point of T20 squad. What caught your eye there, Rudra?
Straight out, Varun Chakravarti. Right, but just because of the arc of his story, what a great story! This guy basically 3 or 4 years back had given up on cricket. He was doing his degree in architecture, and he became an architect. I mean, he played cricket in his school days, didn't really make the cut. Dropped out, joined college, focused on his academics, and became an architect, and then decided that, okay, he's missing cricket. So he started off with a little bit of tennis ball cricket, you know, and there's a lot of competitive tennis ball cricket in Chennai. And he was playing in one of those leagues. And then from there, he was like, okay, I'm not doing too badly. He started off, just to go back a little bit, he started off as a wicketkeeper batsman, which is what did not work out. So when he started tennis ball cricket, he started by bowling fast. Then he got injured. So he was like, okay, fine, let me just bowl spin now, because I can't, you know, my body can't take fast bowling. So he started doing that and he got a whole lot of success. Then the next thing you know, he's playing club cricket in Chennai, which is also very competitive, and picking up huge amounts of wickets. Then in 2018, he gets a chance, he gets spotted in club cricket, and he's only been playing for a year or so by that time. 2018, he gets picked up in the Tamil Nadu Premier League, completely smashes through the league, right? Takes a team that never wins anything all the way to winning the league, to the title. Then is spotted by Kings XI Punjab during the IPL auctions, you know, and bought for a huge amount of money because of his, you know, and he's got already this aura as a mystery spinner. You know, he's come out of nowhere. Nobody knows how to read his balls and all of that stuff happening. Doesn't do well at all in his first season. Gets dropped. And then this season, he's just on fire. Right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely brilliant. On fire.
Economy rate, taking wickets, just nobody can play him just the way he was in 2018 in the Tamil Nadu Premier League. And now he's got an India call-up. I mean, shit, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Just to wrap up on the Chakravarthy angle, which is your pick from the T20 squad. Like you mentioned, he was a keeper batsman in his, you know, when he first started his career. Yeah. Because he was super inspired by Dinesh Karthik. I mean, like, that's who he wanted to be. Because, you know, Karthik was the first amongst this group of guys who are playing cricket for India today to make it through. Because he was playing test cricket for India in 2004, way before Dhoni and, you know, absolutely everybody else. And that's who Varun really wanted to be growing up. And now he gets the bowl in KKR with, you know, Dinesh Karthik, not as his captain anymore, but certainly as his wicketkeeper. And it's fabulous every time he comes on to bowl, because Karthik is always giving him instructions in Tamil. For anybody who understands even a little bit, it's hilarious.
Is like, it?
Yeah. The other day, he...
Like, give me an example.
Yeah. So he came on to bowl and Chris Gayle was going crazy. And Dinesh Karthik was basically in Tamil. And I will not expose my terrible Tamil speaking skills over here. But he basically pointed at a spot and he said, please, for God's sake, like, pitch it there. And in Tamil, this is like 500 times more funny. Like, it's just the way he said it with that shaky voice. He's like, for God's sake, Varun, just pitch it right there. And he's pointing with his gloved finger, right? So, yeah, that's Varun Chakravarthy.
Quite the spin T20 then with Varun Chakravarthy and Washington Sundar, who's also like incredible this IPL. It's going to be something else. And the other thing I'm very excited about is Hardik Pandya. You know, haven't seen him in a while, you know, out to the surgery. And when that day, that bloody brutal innings, I mean, really, that guy, when he decides to hit, he can just hit. It just looks really
fun to watch.
Like, really violent, actually.
In fact, I think some of his shots, right? Like, it looks like he's almost putting no effort into it. And he checks he holds his stance after hitting it. It's just beautiful, beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
But yeah, right, okay. So for your Varun Chakravarthy, my pick is a guy who I've really backed for a very, very long time now. And he's never come good in the India colors. And that's Sanju Samson, right?
I
really want him to do well. But now I know that the chances of Kohli playing two keepers, you know, quite low. But Samson, man, you know, just explodes in IPLs so very often and has played only four T20Is in his entire life, which is crazy. One of them was this year in New Zealand, but three of them was back in Zimbabwe in 2015. He's been really unlucky, you know, like, you know, morning of the game on the tour of England at about that point, at least 2014, 2015. He was about to play and then Dhoni doesn't play him. And it's just been a... been a sad story for him when it comes to India. And I really hope, you know, he can live up to that promise, because that promise is something else. As you've seen often for Rajasthan Royals or Delhi Daredevils or wherever he plays, right?
Yeah.
But lots of promise out there.
Yeah, and just like just needs a little bit more consistency. He fails too often as well. That's the problem. But yeah, but I love his batting. I love the way he conducts himself. So I wish all the best for him as well. But like you said, it might be hard for him to get picked in the squad. Are we going to tests now?
We are, but just to wrap up One Day, as I know we've already done it, but like you said, if Samson was around in the One Day squad, I don't think they're going to change that now, but that gives him 6 games, right? Like 3 T20s and 3 ODIs to be picked from. So he would have at least had a string of 2, and 2 chances are usually enough for Samson to shine, I think, at least in the IPL. And that would have given him some more. But unfortunately, he has only the T20s. And KL's already there. So that wraps up our ODI talking points as well. Let's come down to your format, Test Cricket.
Well, again, like I was just looking at the number of openers that we have. I'm like, wow. I mean, I expect that Rohit Sharma will be back into the mix of things. And I'm not really sure what happened there. It seemed like the BCCI is being overcautious with him just because he's injured his left hamstring before during the New Zealand tour and had to pull out. And it's the same injury that he has right now. But at the same time as the squads were being announced, he was out there for Mumbai Indians, hitting it out in the nets and in full flow for 45 minutes.
I know a lot has been made of that, Rudra, but he hasn't played competitively for Mumbai Indians for like, what, 3 games now?
I think sure, he has.
Something like that. But yeah, well, I mean, that was just a net session, right? So maybe BCCI...
If you've got a hamstring injury, you won't go all out in a net session either. You're going to work on your rehab, because a hamstring injury is very, it's a very soft little critical thing. I mean, it can just go awry anytime you put a foot wrong, and you can just really make it much worse. So unless you've gone through some kind of rehab and you're confident that, okay, you're going to test it out and you're confident that nothing much can happen now, that's the only time you'll head to the nets.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, erring on the side of caution and all of that, right? Like, I think it makes sense. They're already flying, I think, you know, half of all active professional cricketers in India.
Correct.
Yes. They certainly have one more seat for Rohit on that plane, right?
So now if Rohit Sharma is back for the test, which I think he will be, we have Mayank Agarwal here again, Shubman Gill.
That is simple. Yeah, but
KL Rahul, Prithvi Shaw and Rohit Sharma. I know it's simple, but I'm so happy
Mayank
to see
Rohit
these.
Opening, and then Mayank you basically wait for Rohit to fail, and and slip in either Shubman or Prithvi, right? But why don't you? Let me throw this at you, right? Like, why don't you consider the fact that Rohit may not go? And then who are you going to open with Mayank? I'm assuming that you're also keeping Mayank.
I'm going to go straight into, Mayank Agarwal and straight with Shubman Gill, because this is the guy, I think he's like the future of Indian batting. And you know, just the way he plays, looking at him, the shots, the range that he has, the efficiency with which he moves his body, you know, the compactness and all of that, like, you know, the game awareness, just his general conduct, he doesn't look, you know, overawed by anything. I think he's the future of Indian batting. I mean, this is the next, when people, everybody called Virat Kohli the next Sachin Tendulkar. Shubman is like the next Virat.
Okay, Virat, I'll tell Kohli you what, that's a great point for me to segue into what I was about to say, because just like you said, Shubman is the future of Indian cricket opening. I think after Prithvi's debut, where he hit 100 against the West Indies. Virat Kohli in the post-match presentation was like, you know, that guy's 18. I wasn't even 1/10 or some fraction. I mean, I'm not looking this up. I'm just trying to remember it from when it happened.
Some fraction. He wasn't even some fraction.
But a big fraction, right? Like a solid fraction, like 1/10 or 1/8 or 1/6 or something like that. He said, I wasn't even one, whatever that fraction was, of Prithvi Shaw at that age. And he is the future of Indian cricket. So as I know, we both work in Delhi now and all of that, but I still have leanings towards Bombay cricket, and I really hope that opener with Mayank Agarwal is pretty. It's again like for like. It's Rohit for Prithvi, so that's also pretty. I don't know, just fits a glove. But Rohit and Prithvi opening together is also something that might be worth looking forward to.
Yeah, sure. So we have two horses in the race, right?
We have two different horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but I was going out. I was going for like.
We should go out and bet on this one of these days.
Rohit Sharma and Prithvi Shaw opening, if they're on the tour together.
Why not? It can happen. What happens to Rahul then? I mean, Rahul doesn't get in as an opener in Test, is it? Then.
I think. Top order batsman certainly, but not an opener. I mean, not like you said, four openers in the mix already, if you include Rohit. But apart from that, just like you said in the beginning, the reason why we're winning Test cricket all over the world now is because of our bowling attack. Especially our fast bowling unit in that attack. I mean, not to discount Ashwin and Jadeja when they're touring, but it's the four bowlers, right? It's the four pacers who are doing most of the heavy lifting. And one of them is amiss in Ishan Sharma. Your take on that?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think that'll be quite the miss. I mean, Ishant, Shami and Bumrah, they have each have their own unique qualities, and they complement each other beautifully. I think that's he's going to really be missed in the tour. I mean, got some exciting backups. I think Umesh does really well every time he gets a chance. Yep. Navdeep Saini is very fast and he's in the squad. So, you know, I would love to see him being tried out as well in the tests, pairing up with Bumrah. Let's see how that works.
And
Mohammad Siraj. Yeah, Mohammad Siraj.
The only IPL bowler in history to bowl two maiden overs in the same game. I mean, that's quite something. I know we shouldn't be throwing IPL stats out when we're talking about Test cricket, but that's a pretty Test-like stat. To bowl two consecutive maiden overs in the IPL is an achievement.
Absolutely. Yeah. But Mohammad Siraj, I don't think going to get a game, but very exciting. Nonetheless, Ishant, you know, I mean, the more, the older he gets, the better he gets as a bowler, fast bowler, which is quite miraculous, actually. You don't really see that happen, but it's what's happening with Ishant Sharma.
Yeah, there's
and,
some
he's definitely going to be, he's definitely going to be missed there. Well, otherwise, the Test team looks solid and it picks itself, of course, including Riddhiman Saha, who's possibly one of the finest keepers in the world right now. Fantastic guy. Completely goes under the radar because he's so quiet. You know, just comes in and does his job. You would hardly notice him. But brilliant, brilliant wicketkeeper.
Yeah, and we're talking about a tour of Australia. The last time we won there, which is the last time we went, we pretty much won because of Cheteshwar Pujara. So, you know, we should give him a mention very quickly. He was man of the series with 300s on that tour. So it'll be fun to watch Pujara and Hanuma Vihari, who have been missing from, you know, the IPL action and straight into Test cricket. They should be great to watch as well.
Our Test batting lineup is heavyweights, boss. It's all heavyweights from top to bottom.
Yeah, right. And Rishabh Pant comes back over here, right? So,
but he doesn't get a game for me.
What Kohli's basically been doing is he's playing Riddhiman Saha in conditions that are very similar to India. So he played him in the West Indies. He played him in Sri Lanka. Yeah. Pant walks in because he can also score quick runs against quick bowlers in conditions that don't favor us too much. I mean, you know, he had that Oval 100, then he had that 100 in the tour of Australia. I think he's going to be a starter, not Saha, but, you know, like you said, everything's up for grabs.
I think it's just because of the keeping skills. You know, I think, you know, if you've got like this great a bowling attack, you would not like to take chances with who you have behind the stumps facing Saha, up to these bowlers.
That's why Saha plays, right? Because he can keep to Ashwin and Jadeja and all our spinners. And Pant is not really great behind the stumps, but he's quite fabulous in front of it. So, especially when he gets going. I think we're running out of time. So I want to wrap this up with your thoughts on the other four guys who are traveling with this team. They're pretty much net bowlers for the tour, but, you know, they can always be backups in case of injuries. Kamlesh Nagarkoti, Karthik Tyagi, Ishan Porel and T. Natarajan.
See, I love T. Natarajan, man. That guy's story, again, he's got a very similar story to Varun Chakravarti. He's not really somebody who made it as a age group cricketer. He didn't come up through the ranks. He was just playing some tennis ball cricket somewhere. The village he comes from, which is not too far away from Chennai, but has no cricket facilities. He was the first person after his success in the Tamil Nadu Premier League to start a kind of cricket academy there, which is mostly free, by the way. He doesn't charge money from a lot of people there. And straight away, this IPL, he has been sensational. We have so many great fast bowlers operating at this IPL. When we talk about them, we talk about how accurate they are. We talk about their Yorkers, Jasprit Bumrah, for example. Brilliant bowler of Yorkers. But you know that the highest successful number of Yorkers bowled at this IPL so far has come from Natarajan. Nobody has bowled better Yorkers than him. So, he's fantastic and a great story. So, if anything happens to anybody and there's a chance for one of these bowlers to step up, I would hope that Natarajan does. Yeah. But they're all good. They're all good.
We'll wait and watch. We'll see what happens, right? Because it's a long, long, long tour, like we said in the beginning. The first ODI, and I'm sure there are a few warm-up games before that, but like officially the tour begins on the 27th of November and ends on the 19th of January in Brisbane. So yeah, that's 54 days, if my math isn't wrong. But yeah, a long time for people to get injured and for replacements to come in. They're certainly flying with enough backups to make sure that, all their bases are covered as the tour progresses. We'll certainly be back with more on India, Australia and the tour during the tour itself. But until then, we have the IPL to focus on from the following episode. So thanks for listening. This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.